Sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones. And this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Hey, Church Planner, this is Pete Mitchell.
And this is Peyton Jones in train, which is coming right behind me here as I'm talking.
Well, I don't know how I sound because I'm just using my Max mic since I'm on the road today. As you know, I'm at summer camp.
And by summer camp, you don't mean prison, which is what that was.
I don't mean like how Reuben Young would mean it. I mean, I'm literally at my church summer camp.
Yeah, summer camp was code at Refuge Long Beach for the Big House prison. So I spent a few years in summer camp. So hey, let's talk about church planning and stuff. It's the stuff part we'll get into first.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. So I'm at summer camp, really. So, you know, they asked me if I had to help out with the security team, or I don't know what they're calling it here. Church would call it the safety team.
I don't know what the kids are calling it these days.
So I'm like, yeah, as long as I can get some work done. So during the day, I do mostly work. And then really it's at night, right? Like that's when they need us to make sure the high schoolers aren't, you know, making out behind the bleachers kind of thing. And I'm too old. I have discovered that me staying up till 1:30, 2 o'clock, it doesn't work well for me anymore.
No, man, you lose that ability when you turn like, I don't know, for me, 42. 42 was 40. I was getting tired. 42, I was like, oh, I can't pull all-nighters anymore. If I pull an all-nighter, brother, I'm in trouble, right? I pay for it for more than a day.
I don't know when it started, man, but it's like, it's rough. It's rough. And I mean, you know, this is Texas, so it's stinking hot, right? Like it's hot even at night. It's hot. And then yesterday it was like 90, 95, but it poured rain. I don't mean like a little bit of rain. I mean, they had to shelter in place all the kids at one point because it was like freaking just downpouring. Just God opened up the heavens and the rain poured down. And then it's, you know, then it got hot again. And I'm like, all right, there's a Texas for you. That's
yeah,
where
man.
It works.
You still like Texas, don't you?
Over California?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, but do you, okay, is it kind of like, it's not so much that I love Texas, I just hate California, or is it Texas is the best place on earth?
I don't know that Texas is the best place on earth because I haven't been to enough places to really say that. I'm a mountain guy and Texas isn't mountains. Like Texas is flat.
So ideally you would have been up in Washington or like possibly Oregon with a bunch of overcast days and mountains and trees to hide under.
That would have been better for me, but it would have taken a divorce, which I don't think in the long
Right.
run would have been a good plan. So,
yeah, but now that you got her dislodged from California, she's like putty in your hands. You could probably manipulate her to go anywhere you want now.
I don't really want to move ever again.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Hey, are you done moving? Are you all settled in now?
Well, we're not settled in, but yeah, we're done moving.
Nice.
So we got painters coming tomorrow for all the stuff that we couldn't get to. Like,
oh,
I mean,
nice. There's nothing like being at summer camp when all that's going on.
Well, I'm going back tomorrow. So tomorrow is
oh, okay.
Our last day. So
yeah,
the painters wanted to come today and I'm like, nope, we got to come tomorrow. So tomorrow we drive back, but we painted most of the house. It's just, you know, it's a two-story house and like the vaulted ceilings. We can't do any of that. Like, so we had to hire painters to do it. And, you know, but it's, I got to tell you, my favorite part is mowing the lawn because, you know, it's almost 2 acres and you got to use a riding lawnmower. And that's just fun.
Does
Like,
that
it's
mean that
just.
you had to buy a riding lawnmower?
No, I
Oh.
negotiated it with the house. You want me to buy
Ooh.
your house? You can give me that riding lawnmower. And
Nice.
they did. Yeah, it's a nice John Deere
That's
one.
pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's great. But it's like Mario Kart, right? Like, and then Zoe
It's
likes to.
me, Pidio.
And Zoe likes to chase me around the yard while I'm driving the lawnmower. And I'm like, dude, you got to stay away because I'm afraid I'm going to like run over my dog.
Yeah, man. Hey, at least you have some sausages for the next 4th of July barbecue.
Oh,
That's all I'm
dude,
saying.
that's just messed up. That's
Yeah.
rude.
Did you have a good 4th, though? Did you have a good Independence Day?
Yeah. We went to. So this to me is the irony. In most of the cities in what's called, the DFW, they call it the Metroplex, it's illegal to set off your own fireworks.
Whoa, 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 whoa. In God's freest state on earth?
That's my point. Like, we're supposed to celebrate our freedom, but they go, but you can't really celebrate. You got to come to our professional celebration and see what we do.
That doesn't
So
seem right.
I know. And then, but I still go and buy fireworks because there's still places that you can do it.
Well, yeah, my image of the South is there's like these, crazy Bob and Larry's like, trailer park on the edge of the motorway, and you go over there, and the guy's like drunk behind the thing, and he's got his revolver out on the counter. He's like, "I got two for one special today," and then you go in there, and you buy your thing, and then it's like El Diablo, nuclear symbols and hell on it, and then it could, blow your face off, but you can buy it for like $5 and it's illegal, but they still sell it there.
So I went to one of the fireworks stands and I walk up and there's two guys behind the counter. It's early in the morning, so no one else is there. And I walk up and the guy goes, I can tell you want the big stuff. Right? That's like
He
the first thing he
just
says.
saw you coming.
And I go, and he goes, all right, let me tell you how the layout works. He goes, up top, we got the 500 cakes. Over there, we got the 200 cakes. Here we got the mortars. Here we got this, that, and the next. And he goes, you got any questions? I go, yeah. I'm from a commie state. What does 500 cakes mean? And as soon as I said, I'm from a commie state, his partner goes, welcome to God's country.
From a commie state. That's so funny.
And but no, I so I got I don't know if you saw it on Facebook because I posted it. I got the Gatling gun Roman candles.
No.
So
Wow,
it's
no, I
you
did not
hold
see
it like a
this.
Gatling gun and it
No.
shoots out 130 rounds of Roman candle stuff.
Okay, now that you just made my point. There's a Gatling gun of Roman candles that you strap up with, like Sigourney Weaver off Aliens.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, like this is the best thing ever. This is,
It
oh
was
my
only
gosh.
$70.
Okay, now that's $70 well spent. See, I'm too
Right?
cheap to buy fireworks, but if you told me I could wear it on my body and shoot it at people, I mean, sorry,
Oh, he even said, he even goes,
at
you give
safe
this to your
areas.
kids. He goes, you give this to your kids, and here's how they hold it. Like that's literally what he said.
Oh my gosh. You give it to your kids. No way.
So yeah, and then I was like,
Ages 5 and up, mind, like we don't want people getting
five
hurt.
and up. It would be bigger than a 5-year-old. That's how freaking huge this thing is. That's the
Oh, you give it
best.
to your kids. That's amazing. Oh my gosh, dude, you're
But as soon as
selling
you
it.
showed me that one, I was like, oh, I'm buying that. Like there was no question.
But
It
I
was.
love the salesmanship. Like this guy didn't know anything about you, but he taps into your ego. Oh, I could tell you're looking for the big ones. Like that's just good salesmanship.
Dude, it was hilarious. But then the other thing that's just funny to me is like all the sales tax you gotta pay to celebrate the day we told England we ain't paying no more taxes anymore.
Oh,
You know what I'm
wow.
saying?
Yeah, I do now. Thanks for putting that in my head.
But I'm just like, what did we do, man? What did we do?
Yeah. But it was really no taxation without representation. They were okay being taxed. They were not okay not having a say as
Yeah.
colonies.
I don't think that's true. I think they use that as the excuse.
Oh yeah, I mean, no one likes paying taxes. I think you might be right there. Just don't tax us. We're deep down, they're like, we don't really care about representation. We just don't want to pay our taxes.
Yeah,
But
pretty much.
that sounds better because they'll never give us that.
Yeah, so I mean, oh, so then we went to the McKinney fireworks show, right? Because you can't set them off basically within city limits.
Are you still in McKinney?
No, I'm in Melissa now.
Okay.
I never was in McKinney. It's Ryan, I think, that's in McKinney, right? Or
Oh, okay.
maybe
Okay.
he's Alan. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. So we went to that and they did a drone show. I'd never seen a drone show. That was really cool, you know, where
That
they had
is
like
cool.
1,000 drones or whatever it is, and you know, they did the Statue of Liberty and like they're moving around and Texas, and I mean
Yeah.
it was really cool. I was like, wow, this is kind of fun.
Yeah. I'm surprised you don't see that as an opportunity for target practice.
I'm not saying I didn't.
Yeah,
No,
because
okay,
I
so
mean,
here's the thing. So there was, I don't know, somewhere between 30 and let's say 60,000 people at this thing. And so there's like almost nowhere to park. So one of the big mega churches by there, you know, told everyone, hey, you can use our parking lot. And so they had a shuttle service. And they were using school buses, right? Because there's no school. So school buses would pick you up and take you over. Well, there's so many people. I'm telling Jamie, I'm like, look, we're walking because I don't even know that that line is so long. It's going to take us until the show is over just to get there. Like, I was like, forget it, we're walking.
Right.
So we walked down there, show happened, show's over, we walked back. Here's the thing. It is such a zoo trying to get out of the parking lot. We're in there for, I thought we were going to be in there for 45 minutes. We ended up being in there for about 25 to 30 because I ended up, I'm in a Jeep. I just said, I'm driving over the island. I'm like, forget this. I'm done. I'm out of here. But the shuttles, the school buses were stuck
Oh
in
my
the
gosh.
middle. And I was like, what's the point of having a shuttle? They literally couldn't get to the drop
Oh
off
my gosh.
and couldn't get out of the parking lot. The church, that's how
Wow.
much traffic there was in the church parking lot.
Holy cow.
And I was just like laughing. I'm like, there is literally no point to the shuttle service. They are stuck in here with all of us. So,
That's crazy, man.
but it's good to have a Jeep because then you
It
can just
is
drive over
good
the
to have a
islands
Jeep.
and
Yes.
get out. Like, I don't know, man. Maybe the line that I was in, they didn't have any aggressive drivers. I don't know. But it literally was not moving at all. And I finally
Yeah.
was just like, that's it. We're going over the island. And we did.
That's good, man. That's good. Well, okay. So, I mean, I smoked burgers, which is kind of cool. I've never done that before on 4th of July. But let me
Do you use your Traeger?
I did.
Wow.
And I got this cool little recipe, you know, of like things to mix into the meat and it was pretty cool, man. Like I mean, they're like, hey, you got to put a little bit of flour, a little bit of barbecue sauce, a little bit of this. So I put a little this and that in it and fired her up. And people are like, dude, these are good. And they were good. I mean, they're really good. So that was kind of cool. I feel like I leveled up a skill. I want to share one thing that's kind of cool. You know, like you kind of have like little visions of what you want to do in your community. I had a really interesting experience yesterday, which was I had wanted to grab a space for New Breed that involved training in a bookshop. Like if I were going to build a church space, I'd have a central meeting space. I would have a bookshop there. I would have all rimming, you know, all kind of around the edges. I'd break it into four quadrants: coffee shop, bookshop, game spot, and then I can't remember what the other thing was that I had. But I just thought, what are the things I like to do? I like to read. I like to, you know, I don't so much like to play games as much as I like the idea. Like, I would love to start playing Dungeons and Dragons with people. don't have a ton of time for it, but I'm like, what are all the things in an ideal world I would do with my community? And you know, as you know, during COVID, Dungeons and Dragons went into like crazy numbers where like I can't remember, I think it was something like 20% of the population was playing it during COVID. So it was kind of insane. Sorry, it's 25% of the population was playing Dungeons and Dragons. So I'm like, okay, cool, let's do this. Well, this old Irish pub, it looks like something out of like Pinocchio, right? It's got all the like kind of Tudor framing and those weird like rooftops where it's all like shingles that look like they should never stay on, and it's all curvy and everything, and the roof wraps around. It's got this artisanal brick chimney with amazing spiraling brickwork. Looks like something out of England, circa like 1600. And this family decided to open exactly what I just described. And I'm like, dude, like this is all. Oh, the missing piece that I was gonna have was like a charcuterie, like almost like a deli, so you could eat there if you want. But a coffee shop you can do too at the same time. So they started this thing. And I'm talking to the guy going to the gaming session. This guy has like a Pokemon hat on, which, you know, it's kind of, it's down with the young people. And I said, hey, this is cool. You know, you guys, are you going to do gamings? He goes, see all those shelves over there? I go, yeah. He goes, they're on wheels for a reason. This whole wall of bookcases moves, like they move and create this huge community space. And he goes, we're going to start all that. And that's why all those bookshelves are on wheels. So I'm like, Lord, this is cool. You built this. Like, I didn't have the means, financial means, or ability, but I thought two things. Number one, if this place goes under, we're swooping and we'll take all those bookshelves, include those in like Pete's writing on right on Lomar. And, or B, like you have no idea what a perfect church space this is for us. But during the week, brother, I want to be a presence there. It is so cool to me. So I'm going to be watching this space, kind of like Emperor Palpatine. We shall watch your career with great interest. You don't know what that's from because that's from the prequel. But anyways, all that to say, then I had right like minutes before that was trying on a shirt in a surf shop in downtown Carlsbad, and said to the guy, oh, hey man, can I try this on? Because it's medium and I can normally get into mediums, but I've been able to get in anything but a large for a while. And he goes, oh, good for you, man. What have you been doing? I said, well, I write books, you know. And when I'm on a book project, I put on a little weight because you're just sitting around, you know, eating and drinking and writing for like 16 hours a day. And we got to talking. He's like, oh, I stopped smoking weed and I just started reading. And, I'm reading this and that and that, and he tells me he's reading East of Eden, which of course has huge biblical themes, story of Cain and Abel retold. And I said, oh, that's amazing. And so one thing leads to another. I end up having this conversation. You know, most people think they're open-minded, you know, they walk around, but when it comes to religion, they're really closed-minded. And this there was a black guy in the, you know, we're standing at the door to the changing room. Just yapping, like not, and he's the manager, it turns out. He's 21 years old. Dude is smart as heck, has already read Mere Christianity. So I didn't really think much of it. But then I read Screwtape Letters and went, oh, this is cool. This is unique. This is novel. I've not ever thought of anything like this. And but when I had said the part about closed-mindedness, this black guy started nodding his head and going, Like, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. So he's working with Christians. But I just came away with this sense like this dude's gonna get saved. And so when I got home, I felt like the Lord putting on my heart, like, because he will really want to know about my books. And I said, well, you know, because I told him, I think you got a writer in you. And if you're reading that much, you probably have a writer. And it just seemed like the start of a relationship. And I just kind of, I felt like, you know, like he goes, can you give me like tell me your book? I said, well, I'll give you one. So I'm gonna give him Church Zero, which is probably the best to give a non-churched person.
What do you call it now?
It's now called the Unstoppable Church. Yeah, thanks for that. Cha-ching! Because if you guys want to pick up my new and revised edition of Church Zero. Cha-ching. It's called The Unstoppable Church. Cha-ching. There we go. That was
Nice.
nice.
I like
Thanks.
it.
Thanks for that. So you guys can pray for him. His name's Morgan, and it's a good Welsh name. So going to be pursuing giving him the book and maybe even seeing if I can get some kind of reading group together in this bookshop and maybe even a writer's workshop. We'll see. So that'd be good.
Nice.
Because when you walk in, they have like this wall filled with like books, like wallpaper, but it's all 3D. And then there's a wardrobe. And then it says coming soon, local authors. So I'm gonna try to get my books in there. Be kind of cool.
Local authors. It's funny to me because it's like, okay, local authors at a Christian bookstore that might pull, right? But your books at any other bookstore aren't going to pull.
No.
It's
No,
just,
but they'll be
I
able to
don't
say we have
know
a local author here.
why. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I dig it.
Cool.
So what
All
else is going
right.
on in your life, dude?
Well, I mean, personally,
I meant to reach out to you a couple of weeks ago. I
oh, really?
apologize, man. I needed to.
Oh, you should have.
I know. No, because you said you were going through some stuff, and I was like, "Ooh, I bet you I know what it is." And then I didn't even reach out like a good friend.
Oh,
So,
no.
my apologies.
Wow. You know, at any time during the last 6 months or 6 weeks, it could have been so many different things.
That much is going on, huh?
Well, I mean, there's a couple things, probably three different things it could have probably been.
Wow.
But
Dude, I had the best, and I wanted to say it so bad last night. And all I could think about was our conversation. I think it was with Brad Briscoe and Lance Ford. Someone said something, but I'm at this Christian camp, and I wanted so badly to start screaming, "That's what she said! That's what she said! That's it!" Like, but I
this
couldn't.
is a family show, Pete Mitchell. You
I
can't do
didn't
that.
say anything. I just said that. That's all I said. And oh my gosh, dude! And all I could think of was our conversation with Lance and Brad, and
Gosh.
it was pretty funny when we talked
That's
to
pretty
them.
funny.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Yep. I think it was him that said it, right? Wasn't it
One of
Lance
them
that
said it, and then
we looked
you
at
were
each
like, "I
other?
think you and Pete just looked at each other like star-crossed lovers or something like you're."
You just found your spirit animal.
Yeah.
Oh, those early days were fun, man. You know, it's funny because the whole thing seems to be dying off. That's actually leading into our topic today.
What's dying off?
Well, the multiplication movement is really kind of it's dying a little bit. Like it's not that it's not here, it's become like people aren't really interested in even church planting, like they were 10 years ago, like back in those days, that was where all the cool kids hung out. And now think about it, like we're all aging, right? We're getting older. Multiplication's becoming more mainstream. It's now becoming, rather than a bunch of like young people going, I just want to reach my community. I'm not saying that doesn't still happen, but it's been industrialized. It's been turned into our denomination better get multiplying or we're going to die, like so now it's more like an organizational, institutional. Back then it was like the Wild West. It was just a bunch of young people wanted to go do something, they did it. Brian Sanders, right? They go to the Philippines for 6 months. Like, who does that? And they learn and then they come back. And there are a bunch of guys working for, I think it was like InterVarsity or whatever it was. Could have been the Navigators. I don't remember. I think it was InterVarsity. Then they come back and start the Underground. Like it wasn't done to save the denomination back then. It was because think about it, right? Like most denominations, you give 10% to the organization, the denomination you came from. So the denomination's like, dude, if we plant 200 churches, right? And they're giving 10% of their income while these other churches are dying, we're in the organization's going to keep running. And I can remember kind of seeing behind the curtain a little bit years ago and realizing, because for me, like I never playing it with the denomination. It was just for love of the game, like love of reach and lost people. That was a real eye-opener for me. Like, oh, when these churches take, it's financially beneficial to the organization. Oh, that's why this denomination pours this much into church planning. That's why, because to be honest, like there was a time when before that caught on, denominations are like, no, you don't need a church plant. Just support the church that's there, right? Just like the local church pastor would say. And so what's interesting is there's this thing, and I talk about it in discipleology called the sigmoid curve. And you probably know about the sigmoid curve from like businesses. Any organization has a sigmoid curve, which is where you get like, you know, this ramp up where the idea starts taking root and the movement or organization starts to grow. It hits a peak and then it hits a decline. And if it can't pivot, and it can't pivot really in the decline, that almost never happens. But if the organization can't pivot before the peak and kind of ride the next wave, it often dies. So a lot of social pundits have been saying things like, hey, we're going to start seeing the decline of denominations. We're going to start seeing the decline of the megachurch. And what the sigmoid curve kind of proves is most movements started before, like the next movement will start before the decline. And so I'm out in the wild west of the internet this week, I kind of witnessed somebody using discipleology language where they said we're coming into the era of mobilization. And what discipleology, and this is someone who knows and loves discipleology and read it, but what discipleology kind of I don't want to say that it hypothesized. I want to say that it posits or presents, as I think it's irrefutable, that we are in the beginning of the mobilization movement. Not even the beginning. We're COVID 2020 was kind of the official start. So we're 7 years in to the mobilization movement. This is why I wrote Discipleology at all, because I felt like this is what the Lord was doing. All of the movements, if you go back to the church growth movement, right? That came out of, you know, really it started around the 50s, 60s. It really took root. The Jesus movement kind of took a more of a kind of a counterculture approach. That started out. Then you had the missional movement, right? And all these movements, like as the church growth movement's going, as you know, the next movement comes on, you had the charismatic renewal movement that came out of the Jesus movement, like Vineyard and all those things start up. Then you have your multiplication movement that starts in 2005. And then out of that, the missional movement starts up probably somewhere around 2010. And when I say like they start up, I'm not saying they actually began then. I'm saying they became noticeable around that time. When you go deeper back into the history, they have a lot of years where they're not really known. That's the beginning of the sigmoid curve. This is all from the introduction of discipleology. It's kind of flatlined at the beginning and then whew, it goes up. People start to notice it. So I'm talking about the beginning of the incline curve. But I would say that the multiplication movement, which church planting, missional movement, all that stuff, it peaked during COVID, right? Like right before COVID, we peaked. And then at COVID is when the mobilization movement started to really come about. And the reason this is important is that for those of you that are, you know, kind of thinking, man, it was so cool 10 years ago, church planting books coming out, Darren Patrick, you know, exponential growing, this and that. All of that stuff was happening because we hadn't peaked yet. It was like the entrepreneurial, innovative stage, right? And I would say that each one of those movements, what they had in common was they were all telling you how to do church different or how to do church better. what the mobilization movement, where it's different. And it happened during COVID, during lockdown, was because when the church could no longer gather, church had to learn how to scatter. And so people started asking the question during lockdowns, how can we mobilize? Like if the church can't meet anymore, what do? How do we scatter if we can't gather? And that's when you started to hear more about the underground. You started hearing about minimal ecclesiology. You started hearing about disciple making, discipleship. All these things started kind of coming on the move. It was no longer even about missional community. That was part of the missional movement, which also had a much faster ascendancy and decline. People aren't talking about that as much anymore. Now you're hearing people talk about making disciples. And that's kind of what I think, if discipleology is going to really kind of endure, it planted the flag on the map and said, hey, this is the mobilization movement. And I do believe that scholars will start calling the current era of the church that, because what I think we're going to see is a lot like what we saw during John Wesley's time, where as people start making disciples and focusing on that, we are going to see a movement of we will see the movement of smaller communities. But rather than internal, kind of like some leader going, hey, we're gonna have missional community and do life together out of our house and drink wine and have barbecues, which kind of dead-ended. What I think you're gonna see is you're gonna see fourth generation disciple making, which leads to church planting, actually happening because we're mobilizing the lay people. We're not talking about what's done inside the church walls. We're focused on what happens outside the church walls. We're not focused on what leaders do by gathering a community around them. We're focused on everyday disciple makers making disciples, and communities will just naturally form. Communities of four, five, maybe 20, maybe 100. What Sanders would have called the micro church, I think, is just the result of disciple making, activating every believer in their gifts. And if you read Underground, that is, in fact, what he's talking about. It's what we would have called gift-driven ministry.
Should we have said, "Great Scott, it's time for this week's topic"?
Well, I mean, yeah, it is. I mean, maybe now it's time for next week's topic.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how you deal with all you do. Oh, wait, well, I was just going to go into a commercial there, but.
Yeah, today's going to be, we got a later start today. Probably will be a smaller episode. But I do, before we end, I do want to say this. Think about that for a second. Like, what is the Holy Spirit doing? Is the Holy Spirit actually calling us to focus on disciple making? Like Ralph said, or Ralph Moore, if you focus on church planting, discipleship doesn't necessarily happen. But if you focus on making disciples, church planting always happens. And I would say that the secret, and we've kind of had a theme going for a while, not just because discipleology's come out, but we've had a theme going for a while that has been trying to get people less concerned about what you're doing on Sundays for your church plant and more concerned about how are you mobilizing your core team on mission. You know, we start off in the beginning, and I mentioned in my smack talk, you know, just how I lean into my gifts. Books, there. Gaming, nerd stuff, I'm there. Coffee, I'm there. Let's go. And then having that conversation with that dude, maybe thinking, how do these two align? Imagine if every single person in your church was like, I could do that. Like, Pete, you're involved with that Jeep club, right? And you go
No, I'm
shooting.
not, but
Like,
I know what you're talking about.
yeah. Oh, you're not anymore?
No, I just did it the one time. I don't have
Oh, okay.
time. That's my problem.
Yeah. But I mean, think of the, yeah, I mean, you don't have time right now. You're in huge time of upheaval, but like the amount of things that people do, whether it's surfing or pickleball or, you know, like that Jeep club, you know, I
Well,
mean,
see, I totally agree. In fact, we were talking about this last night, there are some kids here that, I mean, this is Texas, right? This is totally different than California summer camp. There are a bunch of kids here who clearly love to fish. every free moment, they're grabbing their fishing poles, going down to the lake and fishing. And we were talking about it last night, me and one of my buddies, as we're going around doing the security stuff. And I was telling him, because I worked at all these summer camps when I was in college, and I distinctly remember this one particular summer. I don't remember what happened this one week. I don't know who it was. I don't know if it was a special summer week or whatever. But the camp decided to basically say, hey, look, if you're going to smoke, we want you to do it around the flagpole. And, we want you to do it during free time. I think there's like maybe one other time during the day. And there were a lot of kids who smoked. And I remember our program director was like, because that's really upsetting to a lot of Christians, right? Like it's the 11th commandment, thou shalt not smoke.
Right. Do not smoke, drink, or chew, or go with girls who do.
Right. So like there were a lot of, and so I still remember we're in this meeting with everybody, like all the staff, all the counselors, the speaker was there. It was all staff meeting. And the program director was like, I apologize, guys. We just didn't realize how many kids are gonna be smoking, blah, blah, blah. And we're gonna reevaluate this for the next time we do this type of week. And the speaker who was there after the program director was done, he goes, I am so grateful that you guys are allowing kids to smoke. He goes, because many of those kids would never have come if they'd been told they can't smoke for a week. Like they're too addicted already. And I would just remember thinking, I couldn't do this because we had to sign a contract saying we weren't going to smoke ourselves, but I loved cigars back then. And like I'm sitting there going, one of the differences between like going to a cigar bar, like what was the name of the dude? DJ at the Refuge Long Beach. He loves cigars. And he would go to a cigar bar there in downtown Long Beach all the time. He still does all the time. And everyone knows he's a Christian, but it's like one of those environments where you're doing something that you love to do and people we'll just talk and they're accepting because you've got
So
this
true.
commonality, right? Just like you were talking about with going shooting or the Jeep club or, you found that thing. And I remember thinking even back then, I was like, if I could smoke a cigar, I can connect with people on other, like I'm not a, at that time I was like, I'm not a cigarette smoker. I'm a cigar smoker. I'm never really been a cigarette smoker, not heavily or anything. But like you're talking about, right? You're finding that commonality, like the gaming or the reading of the books and you're entering into a world where people will accept you because you have this common thing.
Hey, we don't want you guys. We know you're gonna play Pokemon, but we only want you guys playing Pokemon at the flagpole, okay?
But you know what I'm getting at, right?
No,
Like,
it's so true, man. That's a lot of wisdom for them to say and remove that non-essential. That's like where Jesus says, you throw stumbling blocks out for people to follow God. I mean, that was one of Jesus's big things, right? And I think there's so many, we have a lot of those. You can't smoke if you're a Christian. You can't drink if you're a Christian. You can't be a Democrat if you're a Christian, right? Like there's so many stumbling blocks that get
I mean,
thrown
that
out
last
there.
one's true, but that's a whole no- Oh, I'm sorry.
No, but like there's so many things out there, right, that
Yeah.
get thrown out where it's like, hey, that's between you and the Lord. Like there's nothing biblical that says, but Christians will present it and we can be like Pharisees. I think one of the coolest things about mobilizing people is if those are things you do, right, you're automatically breaking that stereotype, right? If somebody is out there and they're, let's say their thing is microbrews, right? Like they just like to go try microbrews. They're going to have conversations when they're doing that with people. God's going to open doors. And this is the thing that, I'm reading the like to me the number one thing about when you get on mission in mobilization is God is there first. By the way, that was the first lesson, the missional lesson that Jesus teaches the 12 when he's sitting at the well talking to the Samaritan women or woman, and he says, He talks about the living water. They're all amazed because for 2 days, the entire village comes to Jesus through this woman. And the disciples are just watching. And Jesus turns to him and says he gives them a lesson. And he says, this is their first lesson of mission. God is always here first. And God's already been working in the lives of others. And he makes the statement in John 4. I should crack my Bible and get it for you. But he says, you will reap where you have not sown. Like, okay, we know that Paul says he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. But Jesus teaches them, okay, hold on a second. The first lesson of mission is God is here first. He has been sowing. He has been working, right? So your people, like you could tell people from the pulpit that all you want, and they go, nice soyman pasta, you know, on the way out. They think that's cool that you said that. But unless they get into the game themselves and get mobilized, they don't get to experience it. And that's what Jesus was modeling for them in year one, was what was going to happen was they were going to constantly see that they had entered a conversation God was already having with lost people around them. That's
Right.
it. I mean, and so your people, once they start to see that, like, God, you have been here. You were working before I even opened my mouth. Like that Morgan guy, what made him stop smoking weed? What made him pick up a C.S. Lewis Mere Christianity book? Like, there's a backstory there that I don't know. Dude's not saved yet, but I entered a conversation yesterday that he's already been having with God. And that's the exciting thing about mission every time we do it. When I walked into that bookshop, it was like I entered a physical outcome of a conversation I had been having with God about what I wanted, and by the way, what I wanted to see in that very building. Anna and I had been, she was kind of bummed, like, man, and I kind of was a little bit, but I'm like, I think the Lord knew we can't handle something like that. But she's like, man, they did exactly what we've been talking about for years. Well, praise the Lord, man. It was like I got to walk into my own conversation with God physically, literally yesterday. But God is always working around you as a church planner. And I'll just say this, like, Isaiah 30 is where I'm at in my preparation of through the word right now. And I just want to read to you guys a couple verses before we finish here, because in that chapter, God is chastising Jerusalem because Northern Kingdom of Israel has been swept away. They did not trust God. They trust in their idols. They trust in alliances. They trust in foreign armies. And God's telling them, hey guys, I know you're sending envoys to Egypt. You got to stop. You can't trust them. You have to trust me. And he says, like, for example, he says, these people will be useless to you. They will bring neither help nor advantage, but only shame and disgrace. This is Isaiah chapter 30. But he says to him, in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it, right? Like you wouldn't rely on me. Like if you would just rely on me, like, all right. This to me shows how little we actually believe God is going to turn up and work in our communities, right? We charge for everything that we think has value. If I'm training, I build some course, I charge because it has value, we say. We do this, we do that. The weird thing is, you never hear anything about prayer. And you know why? I'm not saying we should charge for it, but we never hear about it because we don't depend on it. We don't rely on it. We don't believe in it. And I hate to say that, but we will throw out and charge for anything under the sun that we think will give us an edge on ministry. But we don't ever talk about the Lord will come through. Like, just turn to him. Just talk to him about how to reach your community. You don't know. Remember in Refuge Long Beach, and we're like in a 50% black neighborhood and 30% Hispanic and 20% mixed white and Asian. And we're like, how are we going to reach people that like is this white parachute drop? And we did. We talked to people, leaders of color, yada, yada. Finally, we just said, just talk to God about it. Boom. Second, we started doing that every set. I don't know if you remember when things started changing, people of color started coming through the doors, because I literally said, Lord, I don't have any clue how to do this. And anything that we could do is contrived and fake and weird. So will you just start bringing people of color into this church so we look like the community? Well, sure enough. And so what I love is this verse. He says, people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, how gracious God will be if you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. So I just want to leave that there today. Like, I know that we start off saying, hey, it's the age of mobilization, but you need to know that as a leader, and you need to trust God, and you need to be praying, but you also need to let your people know that, and they'll never know that if you don't mobilize them. And that's the importance of this. That's all I have to say about diet.
Well, I mean, I think it goes back to my question earlier, how are you going to take care of all your church finances while you're spending all this time at the bookstore and doing your book reading clubs and gaming clubs and smoking clubs? I just don't understand.
Yeah, it's a question almost blasphemous. In light of what came before. But no, Pete, simplify church, because really you should be given all this time to mobilizing people and praying. So, let them do the bookkeeping. Simplifychurch.com.
Oh, that's a great name. I wish I had thought of simplifychurch.com before.
Yeah, you didn't, but you did think of petesmypastor.com. So, there is that working in your
Do I
favor.
own that one?
I don't think you do. Pete's my pastor. Muy dragon, or mi dragon is
Muy dragón. No, yeah, mi
muyrapido.com.
dragón es muy rápido. Rápido muy.
.com.
That would be hilarious.
All these opportunities we miss, Pete. That's why we leave the financial decisions to simplifychurch.com.
Can I do simplifydragon.com?
Simplify. No, Pete, it has to be simplify me dragon.com.
Dude, that's even better. How do I set an appointment with you, Pete? Just go to simplifymedragon.com. Love it.
Right. Well, guys, if you did not enjoy our jokes or this podcast in any way, you can send comments to Pete at churchplannerpodcast.com. They'll go immediately into the trash. And Pete's promise always stands. We'll also give you all your money back for this podcast. So, with that, Pete, sign us out.
I'm going to do Brooke's favorite part. I can't tell you how much it disappoints me that Brooks doesn't like this and thinks it's stupid. It's like my favorite part
How
of the
did you know
show.
he thought it was stupid? Has he
You
told you
told
this?
me.
Oh, did
You
I?
told me.
See, I don't remember anything
He
these days.
texted
I'm
me and
getting
said, by the
old.
way, I think that's stupid. I think you should knock it off. There we go. And remember, if you want to reach the ones that nobody's reaching, you need to go where nobody's going and do what nobody's doing.
Still think we should change that last part of the line to press one now.
Press one now to go where nobody's going. Press two to do what nobody's doing.
That's it right there. Press one to reach the ones nobody's reaching. Press two to go where nobody's going. And press three to do what nobody's doing now.